Good morning, Cornerstone.
Good morning.
Hey, we got a lot to celebrate today. We got 2 days in a row of the sun being out. Okay, that is some good things to celebrate. And we also have forgiveness and restoration and heaven and eternal life. And we're going to celebrate that this morning. You can stand up if you want. And this one's going to take a little bit of energy. So if you want to clap, that's okay. All right.
I saw the light,
I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I wandered so wayless, life filled with sin.
I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Just like a blind man, I wonder.
Where reason fears I claim for my own.
And like a blind man who God gave back his sight.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I saw the light.
Watch it.
Some glad morning
when this life is over,
I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Fun songs, and that still contain a whole lot of truth. And this one does as well. Join in. We're gonna sing about how just amazing and incomparable and indescribable and uncontainable God's love is for us.
From
from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. Creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Oh, it's almost here. I can smell it.
Every creature unique in the song that it sings.
All exclaiming,
indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God.
Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Imagine the sun and give source to its light. Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable.
You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name.
You are amazing.
Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim,
you are amazing, God.
Indescribable,
indescribable, uncontainable.
You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name.
You are amazing, God.
Incomparable.
Incomparable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Thank you, Lord God. That's amazing just to think about how big he is. And yet he loves us, even though sometimes we feel pretty small. I know, but in God's eyes, he loves us. Join in with this one. It talks about how much he loves us.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Thank you. is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, he loves us.
Ask God to bless our time together this morning. Lord God, thank you so much for meeting with us today. Thank you for shooting down your Holy Spirit over this place today. I pray that you fill up each one that's here. Give us some kind of nugget from your word to take home with us this week to fill us up. And thank you that we can share in the blessing of community with other believers. And bless Pastor Nate as he opens up your word for us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are you guys feeling blessed by God?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Adults can have a seat. Kids, we're going to invite you to come up to the front for a story. If you are a child or consider yourself a child, come on up. All right. Come on up. Hey. We were going to do this a couple weeks ago. You can't sit on my lap because I have to show the story to everybody, okay? Find a spot on the floor right here, okay? There we go. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can come up. Hot dog, look at that. Hot dog. Yeah, I got to find the page. Do you guys remember what story we started like 3 weeks ago? The Jesus book. This is the Jesus storybook. Yes, and there should be a slide. We got slides for this. So what was the story from Jesus storybook that we did like 3 weeks ago? It has to do with a big boat. Anybody remember? Noah's Ark. Correct. So I'm going to remind you just real quickly. You remember, God told Noah, I'm going to send a flood. So you need to build a boat, right? So we're going to go through these pictures really fast, Shannon, until we actually get to it. So he's building a boat. You remember how long it took?
Yeah.
Super, super long time. Like 100 years. A really, really long time. Well, Noah built the ark. It was all done. And then what happened?
The water came.
Before that, what happened? Things had to go into the ark, right? What had to go in the ark?
Animals.
All the animals, two of every kind. So there they are. They're in the ark. And after everybody got in the ark, Noah and his family and all the animals, God shut the door. No, no, don't touch that. It'll zap you. So God shut the door. And this is where we're picking up in the story. Look at that. I've never been in a storm like that. Well, it started raining. It rained for minutes that joined up into hours, that joined up into days, that joined up into weeks and weeks. The rain joined up into puddles, that joined up into rivers, that joined up into lakes, that joined up into a flood that covered the whole world.
Whoa.
That is a big storm. The boat that had once seemed so big suddenly seemed very small. Right? Look at poor fishies. Well, the fishies are better off than most everybody else. But listen. Yeah, we'd all get seasick, right? Because they can't draw the fishes underneath the water, you wouldn't see them. So they had to show some fishes.
Are you going to teach us to go fishing, Pastor?
I'll teach you to go fishing another day. Yep. Okay. Can I keep reading? Okay. All right. The boat seemed very, very small, but in the middle of the huge storm, in the crashing waves, in all the thunder and lightning, through it all, God was with them. God was with them, and God kept them safe for 40 long days and 40 long nights. 40. Yeah, it's a long time ago. Well, finally, the rain stopped. It did not rain forever, right? The sun came out and Noah threw open the window. Hooray, everyone shouted. Noah sent his dove out to explore, and it wasn't long before she brought him back a fresh olive leaf. Everyone knew exactly what that meant. She had found a tree and land. The water was going down. Whoa. At last, the boat landed quite suddenly on top of a great mountain. Now, it probably didn't look quite like that, but it stopped on top of a great mountain, and as soon as it was safe, God said, "Out you come!" And so they did, everyone skipping and dancing onto dry land. The first thing Noah did was to thank God for rescuing them, just as he had promised.
Rainbow.
Yeah, you remember the promise.
See? I like rainbows.
Yeah, me too.
About VeggieTales.
A VeggieTales movie with the rainbow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
We watched this movie.
All right. I know, I'm not going to read the whole thing today, but let me finish just this page, okay? All right. The first thing God did was make another promise. I will not ever destroy the world like this again. And like a warrior who puts away his bow and arrow at the end of a great battle, God said, "See, I have hung my bow in the clouds." And there in the clouds, right there, see it?
Rainbow.
Just where the storm meets the sun was a beautiful bow made of light. It wasn't long before everything went wrong again, but God wasn't surprised. He knew this would happen. That's why, before the beginning of time, he had another plan, a better plan, a plan not to destroy the world, but to rescue it, a plan to one day send his own son, the rescuer. God's strong anger against hate and sadness and death. No, sit down. God's strong anger against hate and sadness and death would come down once more, but not on his people or his world. No, God's war bow was not pointing down at his people. It was pointing up into the heart of heaven.
What?
God's bow was going to... Oh, it's quite a story, isn't it? Can you imagine being on that ark when the storm came? You'd love to be there? Can you imagine? The water keeps getting higher and higher over the tops of the mountains. Would that be scary? Wouldn't want to be there. No. You got your lucky gem. Okay. Well, what about if you were on the outside of the ark? Do you think that would be pretty scary? If you were not inside the ark, that would be really scary. There were only 8 people on the ark.
8?
He has a rowboat? The rowboat would not have made it in that flood. Would not have made it. Do you guys remember why so many people were outside of the ark that didn't go inside the ark? Remember why? What's that? They didn't believe. They didn't believe in God. They hated God, and they hated each other. They were hurting each other all the time. It was really, really bad. They had to decide if they believed in God or not, and they didn't. And you know what? That reminds me that all of us have to decide if we believe in God. We have to decide if we're going to follow him, every one of us, whether you're little or big. And you know what? This might sound kind of weird, but Jesus is actually kind of like the ark. He's not a boat. Jesus is not a boat. But let me explain for a second. Noah, what's that? He walks on the water. That's right. So Noah, he trusted God and did what God said. And so he went into the ark and he was safe inside the ark, right? Can you come back here just for a minute? Okay. Jesus told us that someday he's going to come again. And he's going to come during a time when there's lots and lots of people who don't believe and don't trust God. And when he comes, he's going to bring judgment, kind of like the flood. But he has told us if we trust in him, we can be in Jesus, kind of like Noah was in the ark, and we can be safe. We can be safe. But that's something each one of us has to decide, if we want to trust Jesus or not. So I'm guessing most of your parents trust Jesus. That's why you're here. But you guys each have to decide if you're going to trust him. If you're going to follow him.
I'm going to trust him.
You're going to trust him? Give me 5. Give me 5. Do you know how old I was when I trusted Jesus?
No.
I was just about, how old are you?
5.
You're 5? I was your age when I trusted in Jesus.
You were 5.
I was 5. Or maybe 6. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
When I was 3, I believed.
When you were 3? How many of you guys have believed in Jesus and trusted Jesus already? Yeah? Almost all of you, that's awesome. If you haven't yet, if you're not sure, talk to your teacher about that today. You guys are going to go downstairs in a minute if you're 3rd grade and under. Talk to your teacher or talk to your mom or your dad if you're not sure, because every one of us has to decide. We know, we just sang how he loves us. Jesus loves us so, so much, but we have to decide if we're going to love him back. That's up to every one of us. We are. That's what I like to hear. Fist bump. Come on. All right, let's pray, okay, guys? God, thank you that you love us so, so much, and you wait for us to love you back. God, I pray for each of these kids here. Thank you for them. Thank you for their wonder and their love and their excitement and their energy, even though it makes them run around and ask crazy questions. Thank you, God, for that. Yeah, crazy. But thank you, God, that thank you that you love them and us so much, God. I pray that each one of them will understand how much you love them and that they will choose to love you back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Was it fun?
Yeah.
Was it good?
You don't ask crazy questions anymore.
No. Crazy questions are fun. All right. You guys can go downstairs to your classes if you're 3rd grade and under. And everybody else, there's a question of the day. Question of the day is this. What is your biggest what if? The biggest what if in your mind? Like, what are you talking about? Figure it out. And why don't you stand back up to your feet again, stand up, and you're going to meet somebody. Tell somebody what you think about that. Up, 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 up. All right. Welcome to Cornerstone, everybody. I thought about that what if question, and for a long time, my biggest what if question was, what if I get fired? That was my what if. I would go away on vacation, and I have this fear in the back of my head. There was a secret deacons meeting, and there was this decision made while I was gone. Like, I haven't had that fear in a little while, thankfully, but that was my fear. That was my fear. So I don't know if you had any serious what ifs. Well, yeah, your what if is, what if he preaches until 1 o'clock? Oh. All right. Well, today, guys, I want to push pause on Genesis. We're going to talk about something related to Genesis, but God has been challenging my heart about something the last few weeks, and I want to share it with you guys. I've had some conversations with a few of you already, but I believe this is something that's important that we wrestle with. That I've been wrestling with, a few of you have, but I want you to wrestle with this idea that I'm going to show you in the Bible that you might struggle with, you might not. But are you willing to do some mental and spiritual wrestling today? Yeah. Can we do that? Yeah, I got a few yeses. Okay, because in order to do that, for part of this time, I need to stop talking. If you're going to really engage at the deepest level of who you are, I need to stop talking, give you a chance to think. So a couple times this morning, I'm going to do that, give you a chance to think, and I hope you will participate. Does everybody have a program? Anybody not get one? Because there's some notes and some things that will be part of the wrestling. Does anybody not have a program? Put your hand up. We got 1, 2, 3. There's a few. Can we get the programs out? Keep your hand up until there's a program in it. Thank you, Shannon. So what I share with you today, some of you are going to disagree with. Maybe you'll agree by the end, maybe you won't. It's okay if you don't agree. I'm still wrestling with this, so if you're not sure, like, we can talk about it. Like, I'd be happy to have conversations about this later. But I believe that if you will wrestle with this, if you will engage with what we're going to talk about, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I believe this is one of those truths that can set you free. And the reason I believe that is because it is setting me free in a new way these last few weeks. So I hope I can communicate this with you in a helpful way. But just to start off, I want to ask you this question. How do you see your heart? Don't answer out loud. How do you see your heart? When you look at your heart, the deepest places of who you are, what do you see? Is it darkness? Is it light? Is it conflict? How do you see your heart? I'm going to say something about your heart, and I want you to decide if you agree or disagree with this. And some of you are going to agree. You're like, yeah, no problem. Others are going to be like, oh, I don't know about that. Do you agree or disagree with this? It's pretty simple, only 4 words. You ready? Engage with this with me. Your heart is good. Everything you know about the Bible, everything you know about what God has said, I want you to wrestle with that. Your heart is good. And most of you here, you've put your faith in Jesus. You are trusting in Jesus. We say, I saw the light. I was born again. Some of you may not be there yet. Maybe you're watching online. You're not there yet. That's okay. But wherever you're coming from, what does your heart say to that statement? Your heart is good. Now I'm going to ask you to do this. Turn to somebody near you and share with them, what's your response to that? I'm going to give you 2 minutes right now. What do you think? I haven't said anything about it. I haven't clarified. You're like, but wait a minute. Wait, but what about? Go ahead. Take 2 minutes to talk about, what is your response to that?
Thank you.
What does your gut say to that statement? All right, it's pretty quiet. I'm just going to keep going here. I'm guessing some of you have no problem with that statement, but I bet there's other people who have a real hard time accepting that your heart is good. And that's okay. I've had some good conversations about this, and what I'm finding is the longer you've been a Christian, the harder it may be for you to accept this statement as true. The more you know about the Bible, the more you know about your heart, the harder it might be for you to accept that as true. I dropped the statement to a friend recently. His immediate response was, nope. Nope. And I have a friend, I'm projecting this, but I have a friend, I'm pretty sure if I told her that her heart was good, she would give me a snort and say, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. Where are you coming from with this question? I want you to wrestle with it, okay? Do you believe your heart is good? Now, I did hear a little bit of the chatter, and if you know your Bible well, you might think about a Bible passage that contradicts that statement, like Jeremiah 17. This is the New Living Translation. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Anybody think of that passage? Yep. Right? Most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. That would seem to contradict this statement. Teeny tiny bit. Okay. Is that about your heart? So, time out for a second. Why are we even talking about this? Like, what does this have to do with Genesis? Well, number one, because I'm sharing my journey with you and I get to do that. I'm on a journey, and God is teaching me some things. I'm starting to see some things differently from how I looked at my heart and your hearts for a long time, and it's giving me a freedom. It's giving me a freedom that I want you to have. But this does relate to Genesis, because last week in Genesis chapter 8, remember what God said after the flood? He smells the aroma of Noah's sacrifice, and God said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. That is completely opposite of what the culture says, what the world says, but that's what God said. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. So here's what we need to process. Is that statement and the one from Jeremiah true of us even after we are born again by the Spirit of God? As followers of Jesus, is my heart still corrupt? The most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Is that true of my heart? Is it heresy for me to say your heart is good? Some of you are like, yes. Where are you going with this? Pastor Nate, I'm about to walk out. Hold on. How does God see your heart? That's the question we need to answer, right? How does God see your heart? That's what we need to know. You want to know how God sees your heart? I'm going to fly through some scriptures. And if you want to wrestle with this, you might want to jot the references down to go back because we don't have time to dig super deep into these. I just want to show you what does God say about this. Because it seems to me that there's a lot of people who identify as Christ followers who are convinced, even after being born again, that their heart is still evil. Or at least partially evil. And honestly, I've always seen my heart as kind of half and half, right? There's some good in there for sure. I wouldn't be a pastor if there's not anything good in there. But there's also an evil that I just can't shake. Anybody relate? Yeah, I'm not alone. Well, my friend John Eldridge, he's an author friend of mine. I don't know the guy, but I read his books. He pointed me to some scriptures that are challenging my thinking that I would like to challenge yours. Is our heart still evil at its core even after we place our faith in Jesus and are born again? That's what I want you to wrestle with. So here's what I want to do. This is another pause time. In your notes, at the top, there's blanks, right? Before Christ. I want you to fill in those blanks. Three words that you can think of that describe what kind of person you were before Christ, before you put your trust in him. Maybe it was a really long time ago, maybe it was short. And you're going to probably have to process longer to get the best words, but what comes to your mind right now as you think about it? Write down three words. You won't have to tell anybody, and you can hide it with your hand if you really want to. But what kind of person were you before Christ? If you're not a follower of Christ yet, you can just answer, what kind of person are you right now? That's okay. Everybody can answer this. After you've done that, you can fill in the next three. Three words to describe, what are you like in Christ now that you've become a follower of Jesus? Are you any different? How so? Think about it. And thank you for wrestling with me in this and thinking and processing. This could be really helpful for you if you do. You are welcome to keep thinking about this as we go, but doing that exercise will do one of two things. One, it'll help you see that your heart is not what it once was. There's a change, and some of you can see it. It's clear. Or two, it may reveal to you that you still see yourself as the person you were, not the person you are, not the beautiful new creation that has been transformed by Christ. So I don't know what it's doing for you, but I became a Christ follower as a child. I was little, like these kids who were up here today. And I can tell you, these are the three words that came to my mind that describe me before Christ. Liar, selfish, immature. That was me before Christ. I remember some of it, but my parents can testify this was me. Not the only thing that was me. You know, there were probably some kind of, maybe I was nice one time to my brother. Mostly not. I had a little brother. You're not supposed to be nice to little brothers. But so this was me before Christ. In Christ, as I thought about who am I now, these are the words that came to my mind. Spiritually alive, hungry for God, loves people. That's what I thought. And I could, and you maybe could help me add other words that maybe aren't so nice. Right? Because I'm still a work in progress. I'm not done yet. God hasn't finished with me yet. But when we invite God in, he changes us at the heart level. He changes us. But guys, here's what happened, why I wanted to do this with you. When I did this, and I looked at those two lists, I realized something. I realized that I often see myself as the old me. Do you do that? The words you put on the top, you see yourself still as the old you? So maybe I'm one of the few, but that's what I saw. But if you're in Christ, there's a new you and there's an old you, and they're different. And if you still see yourself as the weaknesses of your old self, you're listening to the accuser. And who's the accuser? That's my favorite name for Satan right now. Our enemy, the devil. If you see yourself as the weaknesses of your old self, you're listening to the accuser, but that's not who you are anymore. You know what the Bible teaches about your heart? The Bible teaches God gives us a new one. A new one. He says it to his people, Israel. They're living in exile. This is Old Testament stuff. And God says this to these people who are in a tough spot. He's given them hope. He says this, I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. So this isn't I'm going to wash you with water. I'm going to wash your soul. And he keeps going. Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He told the Old Testament people, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit. I'm going to put my spirit in you. That sounds like what happens when we put our faith in Jesus, right? We are born again. We get the Holy Spirit of God. Something happens. We get a new heart. To the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. They were a mess. And the Apostle Paul is told to say this to that church. Not the Ephesian church, not the Philippian church, the Corinthian church, problem church. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I know a bunch of you heard that verse before. You've heard that verse before, but think about what it says. Here's the truth. Before you put your faith and trust in Jesus, it is true. Your heart is corrupt. It's enslaved by all sorts of evil desires that draw us away from God. That's true. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? It's true. Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament says we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, by nature objects of wrath. That's pretty rough. It's pretty ugly. Or how about this? Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, I'm going through these fast. Write them down if you want to come back. I'll put them up on the next step so you can see all the references. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is how God sees us. It's true. All of us were wicked. We were deserving of hellfire before we trusted in Jesus. And maybe your worst offense isn't up there on that list. Maybe that didn't make the cut. Maybe it is. The point is, that's what we were. That's what we were. It's not who we are anymore. It's not who we are anymore. We have been transformed, right? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The heart that was dead is alive. The heart that was evil is now holy through the Holy Spirit. God has given us a new heart. If God gave you a new heart, do you think he gave you an evil one? I don't think so. God don't do that. If you're in Christ, your new heart is good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I got two. It's okay. I'm going to keep working here. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe that. And I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to process this. I want you to process these passages because it's going to take more than just me talking to you for 45 minutes to be like, oh, yeah. What does God say? Here's another passage, Titus chapter 3. At one time in the past, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. I'm not going to define all those words, but it's not good, right? You can see that? It's not good. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. He says, at one time, yeah, we were full of evil. Absolutely true. But something happened when we put our trust in Christ. What does it say? It says we were washed. We were reborn. We were renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's nothing to gloss over. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. This is huge. We are not the same anymore. What else does it say? We're now justified by his grace, heirs of eternal life. You know what the word justified means? Some of you do, some of you don't. So I'm going to tell you. To be justified means we were declared righteous by God. Declared righteous. Think about this. Forgiven means we're not going to be punished for our wrongs. That's pretty great. Forgiveness, not going to be punished. To be justified goes deeper. It's more. There's more to it than that. From a justice perspective, the righteous judge looks at our faith in Christ. He sees the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. He sees that all our offenses and sins have been paid for already. And so he slams down the gavel and in our name declares us not guilty. And the entire courtroom breathes a sigh of relief. No eternity in hell for me. Praise God. But to be justified goes even further. Not only does God declare us not guilty and forgiven, he declares us righteous before him. What does that mean? It means morally right, upright, pure, holy, virtuous. Best way to describe righteous? Good. Declared good. Anybody struggling with some processing? Like, there's a lot going on here, right? This isn't a typical sermon of mine. I hope you will process this. Let's review for a second. The Bible says God gives us a new heart, right? Wait a second. I missed something. Oh, yeah. This is important. We're declared righteous, right? Declared good. But Romans chapter 3 says there's no one righteous. Not even one. And then after that, in that passage, it rants for about 8 verses about how bad our unrighteousness is. You can look it up, Romans 3. And then it says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. We understand our guilt. We understand our plight. But then it says these wonderful, amazing words. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known. To which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. We are made righteous, not by finally getting it right, but by finally placing our trust, our full trust in Jesus. In him, we are declared good. Okay, so now let's process some of this. The Bible says God gives us a new heart, right? It says we've been washed, reborn, renewed by the Holy Spirit. It says we are a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. It says God has declared us righteous, not by our own moral goodness, based on the righteousness of Jesus. We could go on. But if this is what God says about us, why do we still believe our hearts are evil? Think about this. How good is the good news of the gospel? How good is the good news? Is the good news that Jesus came to die on the cross for piece of trash, evil-hearted sinners like us? That by faith, he gives us eternal life. And so one day, Jesus will bring all of us, piece of trash, evil-hearted sinners, to paradise where we will stink up the place forever. Is that the full message of the gospel? It is not. Or is the good news that even though our hearts were completely corrupt, Jesus loved us in spite of that. He died on the cross so we could be forgiven, cleansed, and made new. And when we put our trust in Jesus, he gives us a new heart. A heart that is holy and clean and good. Do you believe that through Christ, your heart is good? Some of you are changing teams. Some of you are still not sure. Some of you were with me the whole time. Is Jesus a garbage collector? Or a diamond maker. Amen. Is your brain hurting yet? A little bit? Some of you maybe? All right, I'm going to keep going. On top of everything we just looked at, I want you to hear what Hebrews chapter 10 says. And you might need to go back to look at this again. Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Made holy, special, set apart, a treasure to God. A couple verses later, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. We are made perfect, and yet there's still a process. We're still being made holy. We'll talk about that in a second. Then he said, this is the covenant I'll make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. This is the new heart stuff, right? I'm going to write my law on their minds. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And you know what he says right after that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain. That is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance and faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Do you know what he just did? He just invited every single one of us into the Holy of Holies. You know anything about that? The Old Testament, Jewish holy place in the Jewish temple? I got a picture of it. This isn't the actual thing. We don't have the actual thing, okay? But this is the Shekinah glory of God. This is the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant inside the most holy place. You have any idea how hard it was to get into that place? You can't. There's no lottery. There's no tickets. Nobody goes into that place. One person, the high priest, once a year. That's it. That's how holy God is. God said, this is where I'm going to dwell, and this is how close you can come to me. You don't come inside. You can come outside. You can offer sacrifices. I will forgive you. But now, because of what Jesus did for us, we are welcomed and invited into the very heart of God any time we want. Jesus is not dragging bags of trash back to heaven. He's transforming evil hearts into holy hearts. Hearts that are now granted free access into the throne room of God. This is the power of the gospel. In Christ, you have a good heart. But we have to talk about this part. What about my struggles? What about my temptations? What about the dark places inside my heart that only I can see that I feel so bad about and I can't get rid of? What about that? Because I don't feel pure. I don't feel holy. Anybody else with me? What about that? I don't feel like my heart is good. The Apostle Paul talks about it. Romans chapter 7. You might want to read more about this, but he's talking about this battle. He says, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is the Apostle Paul. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Huh. What is he saying? He wrestles. He's torn. But he has the heart of God. He has the mind of God. This is what God says. He says, the evil that I do, that's not the real me doing it. That's sin living in me that does it. The same passage, he distinguishes between his new self and his old self. We talked about that, right? You have a new self. You have an old self. He said, but he's been made new. He's a new creation in Christ. But his old self is still lurking in the shadows. Sometimes the old self is like right there on center stage. But it's there. He calls it the flesh. The flesh is still there, his old self. But that is no longer who he really is. It's more like an unwelcome intruder, an evicted tenant, a squatter. That's the old self. Still there, but doesn't belong. Not welcome. Romans chapter 6, back up a chapter. He says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. The old self was crucified with Christ. We're no longer slaves of sin. Guys, if the slave master is dead, you don't have to follow him anymore. Right? Doesn't that make sense? If the slave master is dead, you don't have to follow him anymore. You are free. Now, I still have an old me. I got a new me and an old me, and so do you. So I thought about that. I know my old self pretty well. I know the old me still lurking there. And I just thought about, so the reality of the old me is filled with greed. Three things, maybe more. Top three, greed, lust, desire for glory. Those are my top three, the old me. Greed, lust, desire for glory. It's there. It's there. But guess what? That's not me anymore. That's the old me. The truth is, when I was born again, God gave me a new heart. And he did the same for you. He made us new at our very core. So the evil desires, the temptations that we still wrestle with, the guilt that you have, the struggles that you have, they're there, they're real. But that's not coming from your heart, from your true self, from the inner, the new you. They're coming from your old self, which is not who we are anymore. So this is about your identity. Who are you really? This is about embracing who God says you are and rejecting the lies of the accuser who wants you to believe that nothing has really changed. So what do I do with this? What do I do? These are true things. I've showed you a lot of scripture, right? What do? I need to believe God. I need to believe him about my new heart so I can more naturally live out of that new heart. I got to believe it. And as I do that, I'll begin to see the old me, where those evil desires come from, as my former heart. That's not who I am anymore. That's not me anymore. And so I use pictures to think of things. So here's how I'm picturing it. The old me, the old temptations are like leeches attaching to my soul, whose only goal and purpose is to suck the life out of me. That's what they do. That's what the old you wants to do. Anybody a fan of leeches? You kind of like leeches? I have some leech experience. Yeah, okay, it's been a while, but we've been up to Canada, and you probably can't see that very well, but that's a leech right there on that paddle. We were playing with it. I was playing it. Shannon was freaking out. I was playing with the leech. But guys, leeches are nasty. Leeches are nasty. Yeah, I want you to think about leeches. Quick story. When I was a teenager, my brother and I and a friend would go out to this remote lake nearby with an inflatable boat, and we go fishing. And so we have a lot of good memories, a lot of fun memories doing that. Two stories. One time, my friend was fishing in the inflatable boat. My brother and I were in the aluminum boat, and my friend in the inflatable caught a bass. Not a huge bass, but it's like he dangles it over the boat, and it slips off the hook, and it's flopping around in his inflatable boat. He freaks out. He takes a paddle, starts whacking the thing. And if you know anything about bass, they have spiky things. So in his whacking, the bass spiked holes in the boat. He actually flattened his boat. He's out on the lake with a declining. He didn't get hurt. He didn't drown, nothing like that. It was just hilarious to watch. Another time, we're fishing in the same lake, and my same friend, I think we were all in the aluminum boat that time, he realized there's a leech that somehow got into the boat. And they have these ridges, these grooves that had water, so it was like swimming along in the groove along the aluminum boat. All of a sudden, we had one less passenger. He didn't even think about it. All of a sudden, he's gone. He's just head first out of the boat. Didn't fully think that through. The leech's family was on the other side of the boat, right? Most of us do not like leeches. They're nasty. Here's the point. Your old self, those temptations, those struggles that you still carry, they're like leeches trying to suck the life out of you. respond to those things like my friend responded to the leech. Get away from it. Or maybe like the bass, whack that thing. No! Die, you beast! That's what we got to do. Don't let those things convince you that's still who you are. It's not. But if you've been walking with Jesus for any amount of time, you know those leeches don't let go very easily. You can grab their tail and pull on. They're like, they stay, right? It's not easy. They really are like life-sucking leeches. But guys, we have been made new. If you're in Christ, you have a new heart. The real you is new, and it's good. The heart Jesus gave you is good. Before, I was reading John Eldridge, and he's pointing me to these scriptures and making me think about this. I believe deep down, yes, I'm part new and part old. I'm a child of God. I'm declared righteous. All the new heart things we talked about, all this stuff, yes, I agree, I believe. But I'm also still very much of the old me, full of greed, lust, and desire for glory. But here's what's changing. This is my journey, and you can wrestle with this. I still have temptations and desires, but I now reject them as part of my identity. It's not who I am. It's not who God says I am anymore. I don't have a half good, half evil heart. I don't. I'm not a yin-yang Christian. Not. I'm a born-again child of God with a new heart, and the indwelling Spirit of God will empower me to do battle against the flesh and win. I'm not fighting against myself. I'm battling the old desires of my flesh and an accuser who says I'll always be corrupt. But I reject the lies. And I hope you do too. Because I've been made new. And so have you. I'm not going to be perfect, and neither will you. But I also don't have to live in defeat. Did you need to hear this today? I did. You got any leeches? Been sucking your blood for way too long? What lies has the accuser convinced you of? He's got an arsenal, and he uses different ones on you than he uses on me. But I'm guessing some of you need to do some more wrestling with this stuff like I've been doing the last few weeks. It doesn't happen in just the morning. I'm going to give you some ways you can do that in the next steps. But think about this. Think about the work of the accuser. Isn't this one of those areas where the accuser has won way too many battles? I thought about this. Doesn't he have the whole world believing their heart is good without Christ? And he's got the church believing their heart is evil with Christ. Something wrong about that. Maybe you don't think that way, but a lot of people do. So maybe I convinced you, maybe I didn't. But I challenge you to go back to Scripture. What does it say? Do you believe that because of Christ, your heart is actually good? Because if you've been born again, your heart is good. One more thing we have to do. I had a really tough conversation about this with my wife. We wrestled with this. It was hard. And one of the things we need to make sure is it's possible to take this incredible, amazing truth and run it the wrong direction. So at the end, right now, I want to finish this way. What does having a good heart not mean? And what does having a good heart mean? And you're probably not going to have time to write all this down. You can go back to the video and pause if you want to. But here's what it does not mean. It does not mean I can trust my heart above God's word. I can't. I still got leeches, and sometimes they're convincing. They convince me that it's actually me. I cannot trust my heart above God's word. I can't. Can't tell the difference between the old me and the new me sometimes. I'm going to need to keep my eyes fixed on God. He's my moral compass, not my heart. Number two, it does not mean that I should follow my heart because it's always going to lead me right. That's also not true. Leeches can be so convincing. We don't follow our heart, we follow our Savior. And three, it does not mean I'll never struggle with temptation again. I can't give you that. I will, you will. But we have a new heart, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. We have hope. So here's what having a good heart does mean. It means I have not lost the battle before it even started. I can actually overcome temptation and sin. I can. It does mean God has given me a new identity, which makes me good and pure and holy at my core. I no longer have to listen to or give into my flesh, the old me. I don't have to. And three, it does mean I have power from God and potential as a new creation in Christ to live a life that pleases God. In Christ, our hearts are not what they were. Your heart is good. I hope you chew on that. I gave you a whole bunch of Bible references to help you wrestle some more. Because it's okay if you're not convinced yet. Go back to those passages. Honestly research, what does God's word say about it? Let God's word change your thinking if it needs to. It's true, our hearts were evil, but through Christ, we have a new heart. Guys, it's a game changer. This is a game changer. I hope it'll be for you too. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for the truth that you've given us. I pray that we'll receive it. We'll reject the lies of the accuser. Receive the truth from your word, and the truth will set us free. We will still struggle, God. We know that. We're not going to be naive about that. But you have made us new. God, let us fully receive and embrace what that means. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you I'd give you some next steps. They'll be up on the screen for the next minute or so. Take some time to process, and we're going to sing some of the truth we just talked about.
Thanks, Nate. Some big, heady stuff to get our to wrap our minds around this morning, and it's awesome. So let's sing together this last song. You can stand up if you want. Let's just try and process some of the stuff that you hear. Who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who
my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
All right. I wanted to take a minute and point out, I haven't talked about this in a little bit, but with all the scripture that was a part of today's service, if you're not using the YouVersion app, you can check that out because I make an event in there every week, and it has all the scripture that we are going to talk about or that Nate puts on the slide. So digitally, it is already saved for you. I know Matt Thompson uses it, Jake uses it, I use it. So if you're not sure what we're talking about or how to find it, you can talk to one of us and we can guide you in the app how to find it. You have to search for the event, and it should still be discoverable now, and you can save it each week and then you can go back to that. So it's very handy. In other news, we got the connection card in the bulletin. If you would like to stay connected, you can fill that out and put it in the offering box that we have at the back of the church under the clock. Also coming up, can't believe we're already talking about summer camps, but we are. It's time to sign up for them. Cornerstone and Oasis has taken a group of later elementary and up through high school kids to this Word of Life camp in New York for several years now. It's a pretty epic camp. So if you have a child that might be interested, talk to P-Nate. There's also info, like pamphlets, on the info table downstairs that talk about the different age groups and the cost and the camp. There's also a little more detail in your bulletin, so check that out if you think your child might like to sign up. We also have an intro to Cornerstone class that will be coming up. If you are interested in becoming a member of Cornerstone, talk to Pastor Nate. The date will be determined once I think the people who are interested are gathered. So that's exciting that we're looking to have another one of those. Finally, if you are part of the Tuesday night home group, that group is going to start meeting on Wednesdays starting this week. So if you come, an email did go out. So hopefully if you're already part of the group, you are aware. But if you were thinking about joining a home group, they'll be on Mondays and Wednesdays now. So there's a Monday night group at 6:30 and a Wednesday night group at 6:30. Address is in the bulletin. All right, that's all I have. If you'd like to stick around and have snack and fellowship, you can head downstairs. Thanks.